Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember, FDIC, equal housing lender. Talking Titans. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Brought to you by Invigorate Health in Mount Juliet. Look and feel your best with IV therapy, medical weight loss, testosterone, health and wellness, and body shaping treatments. More info can be found at InvigorateHealthTN.com. Corey, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
We are wonderful today. How are you?
We are great. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. And before we get into the game, I have been requested by Chris on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, to ask you for your thoughts on Jeff Swaim and his blocking ability based on your Twitter feed yesterday. So I give the floor to you.
You know, I didn't tweet all that much. I just basically I said Jeff Swaim strikes again. I mean, that's what I said.
That is true.
I mean, it wasn't a long diatribe. I mean, he went in motion, and he came across, and he blocked absolutely no one. And Derrick Henry got tackled at the line of scrimmage because right where Jeff Swaim was, he blocked no one. I think there was a second play where he blocked absolutely no one. And, you know, I'm not making this a one-man crusade against a guy. I have nothing against Jeff Swaim as a human being. They didn't address the tight end position in the offseason. We know that. And, you know, they luckily got Mykole Pruitt back, because right now he is their best tight end. I mean, I don't think there's any question he is their best tight end right now, because Anthony Firkser tried to block Josh Allen yesterday, and he got thrown into the seventh row. And so when it comes to putting a guy out there to block and potentially go out there and catch passes, he is their most complete player. And yes, I know I'm the Mykole Pruitt homer, but it goes beyond that now. Okay, it goes beyond that now. Swaim is not a consistent enough blocker, and he certainly isn't a threat in the passing game. We know Firkser can get open and catch the football. I've got no problem with that. But when you've got three different tight ends to pick from, and you keep a guy in who you know is not a good blocker in to block a first-round pick pass rusher. And I know guys have got to do their job. I do. I know you've got to count on them to do that. But you've also got to put the guys in position to do what they do well, right, and to succeed. And, you know, that one wasn't. And so, see, this is not just a one-man crusade against Jeff Swaim. But, you know, using the guy who's best suited to do it. And right now he's the guy best suited to do it. But I feel like they've got to be bringing in some tight ends. They need to upgrade at that position. So either Swaim's got to play better, or they've got to find somebody else who can.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just one of those things where it seems like it's a weekly basis that he's missing blocks at this point.
Yeah, well, I think that's the other thing I didn't bring up, is it's not the first game where we've seen this.
Exactly. So overall, Corey, what did you think yesterday of the Titans game? Obviously a 37-19 win for the Titans against the Jags. What was your takeaway from that game? Was it an impressive response? What all did you make of the Titans and the way they responded after an ugly loss to the New York Jets the week before?
Well, I'm not going to call it impressive, because I don't think they would call it impressive. I mean, I think they were very realistic about the performance, that it was still sloppy in a lot of regards, but they made plays. I mean, because they did make big plays. They get the touchdown right off the bat. And I know there's some controversy over whether that was the right call or the wrong call. He did get 3 feet down. I mean, he took 3 steps with the football. So, you know, I can see where that one held up. Now, I have no idea how they took the Trevor Lawrence touchdown off the board. I have no clue, because to me it did not look like his knees hit the ground at all. I don't know what the definitive call was there. And that was a big call in the game, because – you know, that I think that was the most disappointing sequence of the game for me, is when they were up 31-13, and then the Jags scored to make it 31-19.
Yeah.
And then they went 3-and-out and just punted it right back to them, and they went right down the field. And it was just like, oh my gosh. That was the most disappointing sequence, but they get the huge break on the call, and I have no idea what Urban Meyer is doing over there. I have no clue why you would have Carlos Hyde on the field for 4th-and-1. Now, it wasn't Carlos Hyde's fault that T.R. Tartt blew up the play, But why wouldn't you have a much quicker, stronger back in the game to complete that play rather than the oldest back on your team who's clearly lost the step? And then to say that you don't micromanage personnel. You're the head coach. I mean, it's staggering. It's unbelievable. But so they played a bad team, and they made plays, and they've got a lot to work on. And I know that I'm echoing Mike Vrabel, but that they took care of business. I think that's the bottom line. You went down there and you won the game. Guys contributed, so that was good. But they got to tackle better. I mean, the tackling was not good. Setting the edge was not good. They still need someone else to rush the passer other than Harold Landry, who had their only two sacks in the football game. But, you know, I'm going in circles, so I apologize. But good to see, you know, Marcus Johnson out there contributing. Good to see A.J. Brown, you know, not 100%, but still able to help the football team. You know, those things are good. Derrick Henry continues to grind it out. It's a little different this year, that's for sure.
I think we've lost audio for Joe Rexroy. We'll see if we can get that fixed here in just a second. So, Corey, we talked earlier in the show about Rashawn Evans. And obviously, you know, there were two plays in particular yesterday where he just shoots the wrong gap and he goes diving over the top, and James Robinson is in the end zone on the other side. And then he picks the wrong gap, and James Robinson has a 58-yard run on the other play. And we knew this was a big year for him anyway, and it's unlikely that he's going to be back next year. But just based on what we've seen on the field, when everyone's healthy, and I'll include Jayon Brown in this discussion, could it be possible that their best linebacker combo is David Long and Jayon Brown? And we even saw Monty Reiskin in there some yesterday as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is safe to say. Now, the shame of it is that Rashawn is bigger than all those guys. I mean, clearly bigger than those other guys. And so you like to have that thumping power that he brings. But, you know, aside from picking the wrong gaps and everything, just think about this season and think about when you watch the game defensively through the ups and the downs, who shows up? Who do you see? Who jumps out to you and go, man, he was all over the ball today? And you can't say that about him this year. You just don't see him around the ball enough. You see David Long around the ball all day long, right? I mean, it's like every play that heat-seeking missile is finding the football. You know, unfortunately, Jayon can't stay healthy. And I love Jayon, and I think Jayon's a playmaker, and he gets his hands on the football. But, I mean, if it's not a knee, it's a shoulder, or it's a hamstring, and it's just, it's one thing after another, and it's really, it's got to be horribly disappointing for him and horribly disappointing for the team because, you know, the two of those guys, especially in passing situations, really have to give Shane Bowen options, and he doesn't have those options most of the time right now. So, you know, Evans is a guy who has played better and needs to play better, not just for himself or, you know, for the team. I mean, you know, if he wants to get paid anywhere next year, because we all doubt he'll be back next year here, he's got to show up more. And he's a great guy, and I hope he can get it together for the stretch run.
All right, do you guys have me?
We do.
Oh, Joe!
My goodness. I had so many jokes about Salukis and Urban Meyer that I wanted to make. It's been so frustrating.
Did you see the comeback at South Dakota
Pounding
State?
On the glass.
The comeback at South Dakota State. Unbelievable.
Oh, big one. Oh, we all remember that. Yes.
epic Saturday. While you were watching silly games like Alabama A&M or Penn State Iowa, the real football fans were watching Southern Illinois and South Dakota State.
That's right.
I love it. I love it. On this, I hesitate, Corey, to make any – I mean, it really, like, making predictions in this league alone is tough.
Impossible,
and anything can happen on a Monday night football game here coming up. The Titans at home and all that. But I also look at this team and look at that team and see a pretty huge gap. And, of course, they can't think in terms of the stretch. We can think in terms of the stretch. The next four games, I mean, to me, if they get 2-2 out of this, that would be a huge win. But in particular, this game coming up, what's the reality level that the Titans can make it a game?
Well, look, before the season, To me, I said the Buffalo Bills were the best team in the NFL coming in this year. I thought they were my number one team coming into the season. On the Corey Curtis power rankings, Buffalo was number one.
Yep.
And then they lost to Pittsburgh in the opener, and I was like, what the heck just happened? Did I just jinx this team? And we all see it in weeks one and two. You know, there are weird things that happen in weeks one and two. What has happened since week one? They have destroyed everything in front of them, and that includes the Kansas City Chiefs last night. They dominated that game. They dominated that game in Kansas City. And to me, they are hands down the number one team in the NFL. I would take them against anybody. I would take them against Brady. I would take them against Rodgers. Line them up. I'll take Josh Allen and the Bills right now because they are rolling. I mean, they were doing their introductions last night for the Bills defense, and I sat there at my desk, and you know what I said? First round pick, first round pick, first round pick, first round pick. And I was like, holy cow. And that's not even talking about their offensive players. I'm like, these guys are loaded. I mean, they're really, really good. They're well coached. But the Titans have beaten them before. And, you know, if the Titans can get some guys back and healthy, and you can get Buffalo, you know, maybe coming in off of a bit of a letdown after taking down the Chiefs like they did, or you can get some turnovers, you know, like you said, it's the NFL. It can happen. But the way the two teams are playing and where their health is right now, one of these things is not like the other.
What do you think of the two coordinators at this point, Corey? I know it's hard for me to separate personnel coaching, but just overall, what do you think of the job those two guys are doing?
You know, it's hard because, like I always say, I am not an expert play caller. You know, I didn't go to college to call plays, but I feel like I try to understand personnel and in game situations. And you know, I've been vocal about it that I've been disappointed with their lack of willingness to keep tight ends in at times. I thought week one and week four it was glaring, and then their lack of ability to adjust in game. I was disappointed with. I was also disappointed in their lack of play action on early downs last week. And so, you know, I paid attention this week, and we saw more play action at times in early downs. Because for a team that's struggling to pass protect, the worst thing right now is obvious passing situations. When they're in obvious passing situations, teams are dialing it up and coming after them and winning largely. And so that's where they're struggling, and that's where they're going to have to adapt. Now, I'm sure Mike Vrabel will bring up, and he's right. They're among the league leaders, if not the leader, in, like, first downs. They scored 37 points yesterday, 30 of them by their offense. So, you know, I think part of it for us is the bar was set really high. You know, they scored 30 points a game last year. And, you know, they've got Derrick Henry, so the bar is really, really high, and they, you know, they've struggled to get their two best receivers on the field. But I think there's aspects about that where you say he is learning on the job, and that's not to say Todd Downing doesn't know how to be an offensive coordinator, but he's falling into his role with this team. And you know, even with when Dean Pease was the defensive coordinator, we knew because there was so much late motion in his defense and communication that it, you know, even he said it would take a couple years for them to move like the orchestra that it was, and he was right. And he was right because at the end of that second year, you know, they were a pretty darn good group. So I try not to overreact to things early and try to look for growth in it right now. And so I feel like I've seen some growth. I saw some growth yesterday in that offensive coordinator spot. Defensively, you know, they've tried to do things differently. They've pressed more at the line of scrimmage. You know, they're stunting some at the line, not that they didn't before, but they're not. I don't think they're blitzing as much. Would you say they're blitzing as much as in past? I can't say that.
No,
I've seen
I agree.
A ton of it. And so now, fortunately, Harold is getting there, and I think Autry is getting there, and they're forcing some pressure. They need more, and you've got a guy making $16 million who needs to get on the field to do it. And, you know, if Bud Dupree comes out and gets 10 sacks in the last 11, 12 games, then all of a sudden Shane Bowen's a lot better defensive coordinator. So I think that there's some of that. Like, I think they're better defensively than they were a year ago. I think without question to me that they're better. But the bar there was set really, really low. So it's the opposite. So I think there's room for growth on both sides, but I also think there's room to get healthy on both sides.
Don't look now. Those Chicago Bears, 3-2, Corey.
Yeah. Yeah, went to Vegas, got them at the right time.
That's right. You
know, fresh off the John Gruden email.
Yes.
And I don't know how much that had to do with it, but it doesn't sound like the team's real thrilled with him.
Does not.
So, but you know what? You can't help who you play. You just win your games. And by the way, and look, I know Joe has sworn off the Lions, but it's just, it's like a tragic soap opera every week with them.
It is.
And then to see, you know, it's like watching the lion, you know, the male lion who leads the herd. I guess lion's the good metaphor here. But I mean, it's like, you know, Dan Campbell and Mike Vrabel are like the two biggest, most macho coaches in the NFL, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and to see like the head lion of the, they're not a herd. What are they, a pack or whatever they are?
Pack.
Just sitting there sobbing was sad. It was sad.
Five games in. Here we are.
Yeah. Yeah. What do they say? Don't get too high, don't get too low.
That's
what
right.
coaches say?
Yes.
Don't get too high, don't get too low. Oh, my gosh.
Corey Curtis from News 2 has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joins us every Monday at 8 o'clock. Corey, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us.
All right. I just hope we get to see Joe again one day, if he can ever make it back.
I do, too.
I actually got in at like 1 a.m.
Oh,
so I actually, a crew from Southwest flew from Baltimore to Jacksonville to take us to Nashville. So
just to come to Rex Road. By the way, my daughter came storming down the stairs and just looked at me and said, "Daddy, it's called a pride."
There we go. Oh. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. She's right.
Nice.
Corey, we appreciate you, man.
Pride.
All right. I'm glad you're back, Joe. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, buddy.
Absolutely. Corey Curtis from News 2, brought to you by Invigorate Health in Mount Juliet. Look and feel your best with IV therapy, medical weight loss, testosterone, health and wellness, and body shaping treatments. InvigorateHealthTN.com for more info. We'll come back. We'll react to what Corey had to say there. Take your thoughts on the Titans and apparently the Lions as well, as Joe Rexroad growls. All that coming up next. The biggest game of Week 5, the Monday night matchup between the Colts and the Ravens. And FanDuel Sportsbook is about to make it even bigger because FanDuel is giving new customers 30-1 odds on either team to win. And that means you can end the NFL week the right way by winning $150 on a $5 bet. I like the Ravens in this game. Give me Lamar Jackson over on the rushing yards as well, but you take it any way you want to take it. Offers like this are just one of the many reasons I love betting the NFL on FanDuel. It's the number one rated sportsbook app in America. Easy to use, safe and secure, and they'll get you your money quickly in as little as 24 hours. So just sign up today with promo code ROB this week before Indianapolis takes on Baltimore, and you can win $150 on a $5 bet. Remember to use promo code ROB so they know that I sent you, exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only, a $10 first deposit required. Must wagering designated offer market. Max bonus of $150. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. That was an emotional Lions head coach, Dan Campbell, yesterday after the Lions fall to 0-5 on a last-second loss to the Minnesota Vikings. Joe, like, isn't that what the cool-down period's for? Like, you just kind of wait, you get those emotions out of the way, and then you head up to the podium, and golly, that Detroit Lions job, it's rough. I feel for Dan Campbell today.
Hey, you know, let's not, it's just like the Taylor Lewan thing. I don't know why he was still talking about the fans booing him 2 weeks later after he'd already talked about it. But honesty and human emotion are things that we should want more of in these situations, not less of.
I agree.
I hope you saw me trying to pat the head of the lion.
Of course,
poor
I did.
Lion, you're okay, lion. I'll be like, in all seriousness, I actually kind of agree with what Mike Tirico said on the broadcast last night. He said, you know, it was very easy fodder. Sports talk radio all around the country talking about biting kneecaps. Let me raise my hand. Guilty.
That's
very easy to make fun of Dan Campbell, but you know what? The guy's kind of impressive. They actually kind of done a good job. The players seem to like playing for him. I like the guy. I don't like his chances because he's with the Detroit Lions, but I think he's got a future coach in this league and might be able to take Vrabel.
I don't know.
Now, of course, I'm trying to imagine Vrabel crying after press.
Yeah, I don't think that would happen.
But you never know.
That is not really something that I could see there. Nate texting in on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I appreciate Dan Campbell being candid and emotional. I'm so tired of Vrabel and his monotone coach speak. This is coming from Nate on the text line.
Uh-oh. Here we go. Let's turn this into an attack on Vrabel. Vrabel seemed really emotional yesterday when he and Urban Meyer met before the end.
I'm
it was
sure
very
he did.
Heartfelt, like, man, long lost, you know. It is so good to see you again. I missed you so much. I think about you all the time. I know we haven't talked in years, but man, I hope you're doing well.
I would like to really hear that conversation. I wonder what was discussed between Urban Meyer and Mike Vrabel. Probably not much.
I always love, like, especially when you know you have like sort of like a feud situation. Like David Shaw and Herm Edwards, you know, David Shaw had some really strong things to say about Herm and all the recruiting stuff at Arizona State at media days. And, you know, then it's like they had a pregame and it was like, oh, hey, buddy, it's great to see you. Oh, man. You know, it's like, I mean, I always love when it's like there's a clear, like, dislike, and yet they still feel the need to have this little pregame. Hey, okay, everybody good? Family good? Yep, team good? All right, yep, okay, see you later. That's about what it looked like yesterday with Vrabel and Urban, who, other than when he went over to talk to Vrabel, for the most part, like, no one talked to him. He just kind of stood there alone before the game.
That does not really surprise me all that much. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam in Portland texting in. Robbie and text rival Joe, it's a beautiful Monday. Thank you, Jacksonville, for always being there for us, helping us get back on track. We have been to, if I could read, we've been able to count on them since I was a kid. Love those guys. Duval. Titans do nice. Love playing the Jacks.
I think it could.
The fan hatred of the Jags to the Titans, I feel like, continues to grow by the year because the Titans just continually own the Jags, really no matter the situation.
This is true. Now, it might go the other way here.
It could.
In a few years. It might. But you got it's not that's not the case now. You got to take advantage of this. I think Trevor Lawrence is I think he's going to be really good. I don't know if he's going to be great or elite. It's just until someone is, you know, I don't care if they're the number one overall pick or what they did in college. That's very, very few people are. But I think he's going to be really good. And if that organization figures it out, you know, and puts what it should around him, you know, there could be some flipping around of this rivalry if as the Titans cycle down. But right now, yeah, enjoy it.
Tune in to the NFL Game of the Week on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. The Game of the Week this Sunday, the Dallas Cowboys, the red-hot Dallas Cowboys, taking on the New England Patriots. Kickoff set for 3:25. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans when we come back. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. 102.5 The Game has your chance to win Preds tickets during the month of October. Just post a picture of your radio dial set to 102.5 The Game on social media. Tag the game and use hashtag TicketDash to be instantly qualified to win. Show us your dash, brought to you by Social Furniture. Support local, support social. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Matt from Camden texting in. How are we feeling about Derrick Henry getting another 27 carries yesterday? I believe he actually had 29 carries yesterday for Derrick Henry. So That workload continuing to be pretty high for Derrick Henry. I guess at this point, Rex Road, I'm not concerned about it until I guess I have reason to be concerned about it with Derrick Henry and the way they've handled him so far this year.
Well, I'm going to continue to, you know, at least faintly ring the alarm bell on that. So now I got to go to my column because I forget the exact numbers. But I used a calculator while writing this column. So
that's dangerous.
It's always good. So right now he is on a pace for me, and I double checked my work, by the way, too. He's on a pace for 483 carries, which would destroy the NFL record.
Jeez.
Again, it's a 17-game season, but even in a 16-game season, he'd easily have the record. He's also on pace for 2,176 yards. He's only having, 4.3 per carry? So there's a lot of ones and twos in there, especially, again, early. It's like, I mean, even yesterday, the beginning of the game, and I don't know what the – I'm not sitting here suggesting, just sit him out in the first quarter, okay? I'm not saying that. But the hits he takes early in games from a defense that is completely fresh, ready to rock, and totally focused on hitting him, on swarming him, on getting every pop in on him that you can get, man, if you could just minimize that a little bit. You know, eventually, he's the hammer, you know? But early on, I mean, guys take shots at him, and – I don't know what the answer is with the team. The reality for the Titans is they have to lean on him. I still would like to see a little bit less of the first down, 1 yard, no gain runs, but it's also their bread and butter. I don't know what the answer is. I just reject the complete, well, he's different and he's not hurt, so what are you going to do? I still think that someone needs to be thinking proactively about trying wherever you can to give him more of a rest, wherever it is possible. And maybe it isn't, but I know he's different. I would try to think in those terms a little bit. Because, again, this team, I believe, is going to be in the playoffs. I still believe this team's going to win the AFC South. And you want the best possible Derrick Henry at that time of year you can have. I got to think that shaving 60 carries, 80 carries off the bottom line could make a difference.
Right now, Derrick Henry on pace to become the first running back to ever have three consecutive 1,500-yard seasons with 15 touchdowns as well. So, obviously, Derrick Henry, it seems like a weekly basis, putting up numbers that put him in some elite company in the history of the National Football League. It is interesting, though, and Corey Curtis brought this up a couple of segments ago. It does feel like it's happening a little bit differently for Derrick Henry this year, and we talked about it last week. I mean, his yards per carry at this point, he's down almost a full yard in terms of his average yards per carry. And you mentioned it yesterday. I thought Jacksonville did a pretty good job for the most part in that game, and then the fourth quarter comes around, and Derrick Henry is the closer. And by the time it's the fourth quarter, he's just really difficult to tackle at that point. But, you know, you look at the yards and the numbers that he's put up so far this year, and he's had some really impressive moments, obviously. But it's not been just totally easy, at least as easy as the numbers might suggest for Derrick Henry though so far this year.
No. Again, it's a lot of inventory to eventually get to. And I actually a really good stat would be his yards per carry first half, second half, and even like first quarter versus last three quarters. I bet you there's a pretty stark difference. Now, the yards per carry overall around this point last year also wasn't great. And then he had some monster games with, you know, hitting home runs and things like that that brought it way up. So that's still possible too. Just like late in the game, it gets easier and all of a sudden those seams are a little bit bigger. Later in the season, everybody's getting hurt in this league and defense. And you run into teams that, you know, are playing out the string. And I mean, so some of that will probably factor into this too. But just, I don't know, early on when the defense is fresh and you know what they are focused on, I feel like that's where you can maybe cut a little workload out there. Again, maybe Darrington Evans will be ready next week. Jeremy Nichols has, I think, exceeded expectations all the way around. Had another big play the other day, but maybe Darrington Evans is part of the answer there to vary things a little bit. And I understand people looking at this like, no, I want Derrick Henry to get the all-time single-season record and for rushing and all these things. I think it honestly would be better for him and the Titans if he's not close to that. I mean, I'm sorry, but I think it's possible. I think the Ravens deserve a lot of credit for what they did in that one game, the playoffs, but I think it's possible that the push for 2000 last year created a more tired Derrick Henry for the playoff game.
Right now he's at 640 yards through five games, which I believe I read a stat yesterday. That is the most through five games since DeMarco Murray. I believe back in either maybe 2014 with the Cowboys, where he had 670 through the first five games of the season. So Derrick Henry putting up some work in terms of a yardage total this early into the season. 640 yards already with seven touchdowns. So that 20 touchdown mark very well could be on the table for Derrick Henry this year.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, I bring this up at the risk of being verbally assaulted by you. Okay. But Jared just texted me. You're going to have to sit Henry the Thursday night football game against San Francisco, which is an interesting thought. I understand the sentiment, but what's the situation for your team at that point? Right?
What's the thing? Like, it could be a massive game because is that the day before Christmas, day after Christmas? When is that?
It's the 23rd.
23rd, yeah.
So it's the you know, two games left on the schedule after that, which would be Miami at home and at Houston. So, yeah, I mean, who knows at that point? You could be in a complete dogfight with the Colts to win the division. But that is the short week and that opponent. It would be timely.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Will from Nashville texting in. I agree, Joe, and yet really don't know the answer. I noticed the vicious hits yesterday in particular. It's like the D linemen are told just get an arm around him, and then the backers and safeties come in and tee off. He's such a big target and doesn't ever elect to go down when the tackle is inevitable like some backs do. This is coming from Will in Nashville.
Look, it's football, and make no mistake. When you're a team and you're playing a great player, great offensive player, and you have a chance to hit that offensive player, you're going to take that. And I do. I feel like there is some, and again, I'm not saying they shouldn't do that. I mean, that's what this league is. It is a brutal collision game. But early on yesterday, a couple times, I was like, see, right there, those are the hits you don't want them taking, because it is like that. It's like they're waiting for support to come in and really try to take it to them. And again, it never works. At the end of the game, he's stronger than everybody else. It's incredible. But you just hate seeing those hits. They look so different early than they do late.
Which goes to show you that he's still delivering a lot of the punishment too. And I think we know that at this point about Derrick Henry. But, you know, he's talked about it. And obviously the Titans are at least somewhat aware of it. It may not look that way during the game, but I don't recall him getting too many practices off totally last year. Maybe I'm wrong. But basically every Thursday at this point, they say, you know what, Derek, you just go ahead and sit down and be ready to play on Sunday. So, I mean, it tells me they're at least somewhat cognizant of it, but I just keep going back to this point, especially while they're in the injury situation that they're in. Like, it's very difficult for me, if you're Todd Downing, to look around and say, yeah, I know he's our best player. I know it's a pretty big body of evidence at this point that he wears teams down as the game goes along, but let me just not give the guy that ball. I mean, I just don't really know what the answer to that is if you're the Titans, especially in this situation where it's obvious A.J. Brown's not 100% and you don't have Julio Jones. Maybe the conversation changes a little bit if those two can get back and get healthy and look close to what we think they can be. Maybe that changes some of this discussion. But right now, I mean, he's by far your best option, and sometimes it's a necessary evil that you've got to have to close out a game.
Well, no doubt. And again, I mean, that's when – how could you possibly blame them for giving the ball then? I mean, yeah. Absolutely. And again, that's where he takes less punishment then. He delivers it more. But I would like to see a game, and maybe you're it. Maybe they get everybody back, and they just come out and, you know what, just going to throw it around. Go hurry up. Just change it up a little bit. Still have him on the field a fair amount because 22 draws a lot of eyeballs. But, you know, approach it sort of inside out or the other way around a little bit and tire out a defense by making them run around and chase your skill and get the ball out fast. I mean, like, I think you can still – he's not the only way a defense gets tired.
No.
Is he a big part of it? Yes. But I think you're still talking about a tired defense late in games, even if he hasn't had like 18 carries to that point. It'd just be good to see like a game with, you know, Derrick Henry has like 14 carries for 70 yards and the Titans win big with a great balanced offense. Like a couple of those might pay off in the end.
Make sure you're tuning in during the 8, noon, and 4 p.m. hours each weekday this week for your chance to qualify to win a pair of tickets to see Monday Night Football on October the 18th in Nashville. Be caller number 5 right now on 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will qualify to win the tickets. Two winners will be announced coming up on Friday at 5:30. Caller number 5, 615-737-1025 for your chance to qualify. When we come back, we'll get Joe Rexroad's three best and three worst performances from the Titans yesterday down in Jacksonville. That's next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. Current deals include half off of gift cards for Retro Snow, Fat Cat Slim's Central Barbecue, Joyland in East Nashville, and Bad Axe Throwing Nashville. Get your deals now at thegamenashville.com/deals. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rexroad brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Visit volstatebank.com to learn more about their free Kasasa checking account. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. We'll be joined by Darren McFarland, our good friend, to begin the 9 o'clock hour. Get his thoughts on the Titans and the Preds back in action the regular season starting this week. All that coming up at 9 o'clock. But now it's time to get to Joe Rexroad's three best and three worst performances for the Titans yesterday down in Jacksonville. So Rexroad, as we do every Monday at this time, let's start with the best. Your three best performances / performers for the Titans yesterday and the win against Jacksonville.
Okay, well, I mean, best, you could probably just go Henry number one all along, but this week I will go Landry. I just think Harold Landry, you know, the 3 for 10 on third down, a couple of those you give directly to him, and probably more than that based on pressure and things like that. The guy is relentless. He's having a heck of a year. And considering no Bud Dupree, you got Ola Dainey and you got, you know, a little bit of John Simon is signed to come in here and play 19 snaps. You're moving some people around and using Autry out there, but he's not getting the help that we've talked about the last few years, and he's still raising his game to a totally different level. So I got to go with him first. So poor Derrick Henry only gets number two, but really he's like permanent number one, right? It's absolutely stupid. And this is also from my column, although I lifted it from CBS. 40-game rushing stretch. He has the best 40-game rushing stretch in NFL history. In those 40 games, 4,792 yards. Jim Jeez. Brown had the record for a long time, 4,759. So it's just weekly with this stuff. Also, very cool, Derek invited Caleb Wagner and his family to the game and hung out with him a little bit before the game, took a picture. For anybody who doesn't know who Caleb Wagner is, he plays for Baker High in Florida. He beat Derrick Henry's single game record, rushing record, with 535 yards.
Derek, is that good?
Had that record for a while. That's okay. Derek had that record for a while, 502. And Caleb Wagner, by the way, was born without a left hand. It's pretty amazing, inspirational story on his own, and pretty awesome that you know, Derrick Henry did that. Then he goes out and just puts on the hard hat, puts in a day's work, man. And it's remarkable. And my number three, I'm actually, it's weird because the D was bad yesterday, right? For the most part, but they made plays, and I'm going to go number three with Tyre Tart, because that particular play was to me the biggest play of the game. And yes, Urban Meyer, bad personnel, and then he blames his assistant afterward. You know, we just met about it, and blah, blah, blah. I don't micromanage. In other words, it wasn't my fault. It was somebody else's fault. You know, whatever.
He really is insufferable.
Regardless of the personnel, the point is, Tyre Tart on that play. Yeah. But, you know, Tyre Tart on that play, he destroyed the play. And if the Jaguars score 10 minutes left to make it like 31-26, I don't know what happens. I don't know that the Titans handle the pressure and put the game away. I don't know that they do. They probably do with Derrick Henry, but like Corey Curtis said earlier, you know, it's 31-13. It's basically over. They have a drive. They score. Okay. So count on your side of the ball that is so much better than their opposing side of the ball. Instead, the Titans go three and out. And then next year, and then boom, here come the Jaguars on the field. That game was threatening to become real dicey, and Tyre Tart stopped it. So he's my number three.
Joe Rexroy, your three worst performances yesterday for the Titans against the Jags.
Yeah, I mean, I got to go Dane Cruikshank. I mean, it's just not working out. The Titans need someone else there next to Kevin Byard. Dane Cruikshank has been a good special teams guy, and he's had a lot of injuries, and he hung in and made the team, and he found himself starting at safety, but he's not the answer there. He had a lot of rough plays yesterday, and they need Amani Hooker, and maybe they will get him back. That would be very timely against the Bills. I still don't like the matchup for the Titans. I don't care who comes back healthy. Bring back Dupree, bring back Hooker, you know, whoever you want. I still don't like the matchup, but Dane Cruikshank, that the time at starting safety, I think, has got to come to an end.
It was rough. Your second worst performance for the Titans yesterday.
Well, Rashawn Evans, and I think Corey Curtis put it well. There are the obvious mistakes that we see, and everybody makes mistakes. But you're also just not seeing the impact. You're not seeing him like David Long made some mistakes yesterday too, without question. But David Long is everywhere, and he makes plays, and I just not seeing enough of that at all from Rashawn Evans. It's a tough situation. Jayon Brown now knee injured reserve. Don't know how long he's out, but it's not short. I mean, you can just count him out for a while. Now Evans little quad and the rookie Monty Rice hurts his groin, and all of a sudden that position is thin. They need Rashawn Evans to be healthy and just, you know, play well, play better. He's not playing well, and it's disappointing because, you know, in a contract year, obviously we're seeing what Harold Landry is doing to make himself very attractive to a lot of other teams. Rashawn Evans is doing the opposite.
Your third worst performance for the Titans.
Yeah, sorry. I don't know. Should I pause and have you say that, or should I just keep going?
You do whatever you want to do. I enjoy the pause. I enjoy whatever way you want to take it.
Well, if I pause it, I want you to go number three.
I can do please. That. Number three.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, Jeff Swaim at tight end. He's had too many whiffs, just total whiffs with blocking assignments, and they get people just blasted. And of course, a big example was Tannehill in Seattle, but just hasn't looked good. Been good at the point of attack, or at least he's made some glaring mistakes. Not saying snap after snap he isn't having good snaps too, but just too many whiffs, too many mistakes, and just it's an overall glimpse that, you know, that tight end position is just, it's not very good. Firkser needs to continue to get more into the passing game. I thought yesterday was a little bit of a step forward there. He should be able to make a difference. But, yeah, again, he's in the offseason. We heard, you know, he tied down. You're like, well, you guys are underrating his blocking. Okay. But, I mean, you know, look, I mean, physically, it's just a reality with him. He's not the all-around tight end based just on pure physics, you know, that – that that you need, and Pruitt has been a very handy pickup at that position. Is one that they should have addressed more in the offseason.
Yeah, can we officially put the Anthony Firkser as a number one tight end in the NFL thing to rest now? Because he's not. He's, you know, I understand he's been hurt, and I understand that hopefully as he gets healthier here, he's going to be more of a factor here with the Titans. But this idea that all of a sudden Anthony Firkser is like, you know, first off, like we knew at the time, the top flight tight end comments from Kevin Byard were, okay, whatever. Like we kind of knew that at the time, but like Anthony Firkser is not a starting tight end.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great story. I think he's a good situational tight end, and could. I thought he was going to have a really good year catching the ball, but yeah, I mean, look, I mean, he's in every single situation, he's not ideal, and he never will be, which is okay. I mean, I think if he can get to where he is, especially I think in the red zone, more of a factor catching the ball, then that's fine. I mean, to me, that's not the problem. I think the problem is obviously Jonnu Smith walks. You didn't get a young tight end in here to develop like you did with Jonnu Smith. Took him a couple of years, got to be pretty good. And I think that was a big miss in the offseason. But you're right. I mean, obviously it was overstated. Now it's still better than Racy McMathis, Julio Jones, I think.
Yes.
But yeah, the preseason talk often looks looks pretty comical a few weeks later.
Are you ready for the John Glennon Pro Football Focus top five offensive grades for the Titans against Jacksonville?
Oh my goodness, am I ever.
So the top four grades, all offensive linemen for the Titans. Quesenberry at number one with 89.8. Lawan, 86.9, Nate Davis, 85.3, Ben Jones, 85.1, and then at number five, Marcus Johnson, 76.9. So get out of here, Derrick Henry. You're not in the top five.
It's very interesting. Okay. Well, what was Derrick Henry's grade then?
I don't know. It's not on there. Couldn't tell you. Just amazing.
So I do think that there was some really good – run blocking moments for that offensive line for sure.
Sure.
But like, I mean, Questenberry 89.8, I mean, there are a couple pass blocking moments for him that were not good. So I, you know, that's, I don't know, whatever, man. Pro Football Focus. The gift that keeps on giving.
Yes, it is. Preds fans, Smashville Live returns this Wednesday, October 13th on 102.5 The Game. This week's guest will be Preds GM David Poyle and head coach John Hines. The show will air on Wednesdays during the Preds season from 6 to 7 p.m., featuring Preds players, former players, and other special guests. And you can also watch the show via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Facebook page, YouTube, Twitter, and at thegamenashville.com. So be sure to join us this hockey season for Smashville Live. And speaking of the Nashville Predators, they're getting fired up this week. When we come back, we will be joined by Darren McFarland from Darren Donick and Chase. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and look ahead to this Predator season as well. All that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.